Hey, this is Chris Brown, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at PureFlix.com, the best place to stream faith and family-friendly movies and more. Sign up for your free one-month trial subscription today at PureFlix.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. Honored that you are tuning in today. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Why are you calling in? Why are you emailing in? Because we're looking at what the Bible has to say about stewardship, not some old clinical stale church word, but managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. That email address one more time is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. You can also reach out on social media. Chris Brown on Air is the handle. And the phone number one more time, 866-357-3283. We're not just talking about money, but also talking about relationships and anything else that kind of comes our way. How do we look at the situation through the eyes of the scriptures? As you're calling in, I have a couple reminders for you. Don't forget to enter the Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway. We're giving away $100,000 worth of cash and prizes in the weeks that are leading up to Christmas. And you can enter once every day right there at stewardship.com. Hey, do you remember at the beginning of this month? Okay, we're here mid-November. At the beginning of the month, we said we're going to be thankful. Well, here we are, halfway through the month. Let's not forget to give God thanks. If you're finding that hard to do, let's do this. Let's all do it together right now. Let's all give God thanks. You ready? On the count of three, I want you to say out loud, wherever you're at, if it's appropriate, one thing you're thankful for today. Ready? One, two, three. See, didn't that feel good? I hope you participated. If you didn't, that's just one more opportunity you left on the shelf for us to be able to give thanks. We will be refreshed in our spirit when we give thanks and when we praise Him. Colossians 4:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So that's what we're talking about today. How can we give Him praise through our lives? Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And next up from Madison, Wisconsin, we've got Kirsten. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can we help?
Well, my husband and I are both pastors, though right now I'm working part-time from home and will be with my kids here at home for the next few years. We'll start baby step three in January and look to pay to have our emergency fund fully funded by next summer. And then, because I'm a planner, I'm looking to baby steps four and five and wondering about whether we should contribute the full 15% of our gross income to our retirement fund, given that the parish where my husband serves gives 12% to his retirement.
Gotcha. Well, folks listening in, just to catch you up to speed, the reference to baby step three is, Kirsten's talking about Financial Peace University. Baby step one is to save $1,000. Baby step two is to get out of consumer debt, and Kirsten has done that, and working on baby step three now. Which is the fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses put in a money market account, and not as an investment, but as insurance to be self-insured, to be prepared when it rains out there in this world where we have air conditioning go down or we have some kind of unexpected medical bill or something like that, that she'll be prepared for that. And this question here about retirement, what baby step four says is you want to put 15% away towards retirement, 15% of your household income. But you guys are already getting 12 from your employer. So let me ask you this. This is the key component here. Typically, we'd say treat the 12% benefit as gravy. Still do your 15%, and then the 12% is gravy. But because that's so much, I mean, that's a lot. That's a very good benefit. I got to ask this question. Do you feel like, and I guess it should be more than a feeling, you should probably have some data to back it up, but do you think that you're he's making 12% less in his salary because of this benefit?
I don't think so. It happens to be an added kind of benefit.
Okay.
And there's a few different odd things that happen when you work in the church the way that we do with regard to benefits, and that's one of them. So I think it's kind of a, like you said, it's gravy if we add the 15% of our own take home.
Okay, yeah. And I didn't mean that to say that it would be a bad motive by those who established his package. I just meant if that's the way they decided to structure it, that's fine. I think that's amazing. You know, so many pastors I talk to around the country that have not thought through retirement. And more than that, they've actually exempt out of Social Security. And they don't have anything put away. So I love this. If I were you, I would still treat this as gravy. I would still do the 15%. And the only reason why I'd say that is because the average tenure, and I'm not saying you're average, but the data is the data. The average person that stays in a role as a pastor or as a clergyman or woman is 3 years. And so I wouldn't want you to fully rely on this 12% benefit as if you're going to be there 20 or 30 years. And I hope you are. But the data says otherwise, that the average is 3 to 5 years, depending on position. So for me, I would treat it as gravy. I would still do the 15%, and I'd reevaluate it every year or two.
And it is a kind of a standard across our denomination that you give a certain percent, anywhere kind of between 12 and 15. So even if we just got to this parish, actually, so we'll be here for quite some time probably. But I think if we just start saving and having this be part of the retirement fund, I did the numbers and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing someday.
Yes, it all adds up fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's such a great benefit. I will tell you this, though, Kirsten, I would spend 30 minutes minimum and make sure that even though it's in this fund, that it's in the right it's broken down the right way. You want to look for, because there's lots of different options in there. Probably not a lot. There's probably like, I don't know, 10 or 15 different options in there where your money can go within this fund. And I would just make sure that whatever they have your money automatically put into, I've noticed in the past where they just put it in there and they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the least performing ones. And it's like 3 or 4% when there's one right next to it, that you can just one click of a mouse and you're over in 10% land. So you want to be looking for a historical track record of 10% or more, and you're looking for a fund that's has been around for at least 10 years and shown this kind of production. So just that little bit of diligence could mean the difference in hundreds of thousands of dollars later. So it's worth your 30 minutes to an hour just to make sure that it's in the right thing. So, and most of those, when you go to the website, Guidestone or American Funds or something like that, when you go to them, it's really user friendly. It didn't used to be that way, but it's starting to get better. But Proverbs 12:24, and you're a pastor, so I don't tell you this, but the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. So that diligence, of course, we know there's scriptures all over the Bible that talk about diligence. So that 30 minutes to an hour, God could really, really bless you because of that time spent. So just sit down. I know it's annoying to do. Not many people like to do that stuff, but take that time to go through there. And then whatever you find, let the CFO know, or whatever the role is in your parish. Hey, listen, my stuff was already put in a pretty bad fund, and I just want you to know. I don't know if that's happening to everyone else, but let's get those transferred over for everybody.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All righty, Kirsten. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
My wife and I have the privilege and responsibility to shape the hearts of our 3 kids. We don't always get it right, of course, but that's why I'm thankful for resources like PureFlix.com. It's the best place to stream faith and family-friendly movies, documentaries, kids programming, and more. anytime, anywhere on your phone, tablet, laptop, or TV. PureFlix.com provides wholesome Christian entertainment that I can trust to make a positive impact on my whole family. Go to PureFlix.com today and sign up for your free one-month trial subscription. Your family will thank you. Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. You can email in at ChrisBrownOnAir@stewardship.com. You can post in from social media at Chris Brown On Air. And, of course, you can call in at 866-357-3283. Next up from Denver, Colorado, we've got Katie. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, how can I help?
Well, we had some unique circumstances in the past where we were really doing well, staying out of debt and everything. And then we took some advice and got ourselves in a little trouble and have some credit card and a PLOC debt that we've kind of let sit for about 3 years and haven't really resolved. We prayed over whether or not we wanted to do a bankruptcy, what we wanted to do because of the change in what had happened in our situation, and we've struggled to pay it back. And so it's been sitting for a little while. We would like to negotiate it to a degree, and we don't know if there's companies out here that do that for you, but I don't know whether that's a good way to go, or should we contact the major bank with the PLOC and the credit card ourselves and negotiate it personally. I don't know sometimes those can be a little tricky, and sometimes you don't know who you're talking to as far as whether or not they have the ability to make those choices and decisions.
Yeah, yeah. Have you already talked to some companies that can do the negotiations for you?
We have not.
Okay. I'd be curious to know what they're charging for that. I mean, because the bottom line is if you've got current debt, this is a service that you legitimately can't afford. So I'd rather you do your negotiations for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll get more results that way because you can give more heart behind the circumstances, and you can give more detail, and it's not going to be as clinical of a call. It'll be more heartfelt. And yeah, you might have to go through the frustration of talking to the wrong people. Actually, I would say you probably will go through that frustration. But if you come to an agreement where you can save 5, 7, 8 grand because of a day's worth of frustration or on the phone, it seems like a pretty good use of time as far as I'm concerned. So your question is to pay it back or not, or negotiate or not?
At this point, we want to pay it back. It's just whether we wanted to negotiate and whether or not we thought we could be successful doing that on our own.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can. I think you can do it on your own. You can see what's out there as far as negotiating the debt. Somebody that'll do it. But what I wouldn't want you to do from a financial advice standpoint is I wouldn't want you to go spend any more money because you don't have any. You're already in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you spending any more. You can negotiate for yourself. And so I don't want you to pay. You're not in a spot where you can pay for a service that you can do. It's like if you wanted to go get someone to cut your lawn right now. I wouldn't want you to do that if you can cut your own lawn while you're in debt. It's another service.
They typically, from what I've heard, they take it out of what they're really able to, mm-hmm. Negotiate off, and they just kind of add their fee on. But, it's still one way or the other, you're paying the piper, So.
Yeah, yeah. I just like you doing it yourself. Having a testimony is a pain. It's a pain to get, but it's great to have one. So you're going to mm-hmm. walk through this, and you're going to have this testimony, and you're going to be able to brag on God that he got you through it. And I want you to remember every detail. I want you to remember what it was like to call the company. I want you to be able to steer people in the right direction and say, hey, you want to avoid this. I've been there. I've done that. And I want you to feel the pain. I think the pain's good for us. And I think if you delegate out the pain, I think you're not going to get the full benefit of going through the valley. So I think calling them and humbling yourself and putting the tail between your legs kind of thing, I think it's good for all of us when we do that.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't want you to delegate that away. So I know it's hard to hear, but I just, from somebody who's been through a lot of pain and made a lot of mistakes, I look back and I think it's those times where I had to pick up the call and I'm pushing those buttons. As the buttons go in on the phone, I've got this anxiety building up, and I talk to them, and just that whole wrestle, it makes it real to me so that I can talk to people on the radio now and be able to feel that pain. And one day you're going to do that for somebody else.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Okay, Katie?
Yeah.
All right. We're cheering you on.
That's encouraging. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, I got to commend Katie. I mean, that's awesome. She's not asking whether she should pay it back or not. She's asking what the best way to pay it back. And if they're going to take money off the bill, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. But if you have a conversation with the people that you're indebted to, and they're saying, you know what? It's been a while. Let's settle. Hey, listen, that's their decision. That's great. You guys agreed on it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I commend the fact that she's wanting to do the right thing. James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do it and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. And Katie's wanting to do the right thing. So she's got to put together a plan, maybe on everydollar.com, put together a plan where she can pay off this money. And I've got a funny feeling she's going to do it. She shows all the right mentality that goes behind winning with finances. So I'm definitely cheering her on. Well, folks, for Christmas this year, do you want to give a gift that matters? Now, this year, we all are making futures bright by offering some of our incredible Christmas gifts for just $10. Here at Ramsey Solutions, that's important to us. You can get our most popular books, audiobooks, and ebooks, including Chris Hogan's number one bestseller, Retire Inspired, Rachel Cruz's book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, and Dave Ramsey's The Total Money Makeover for just $10. You'll find resources to help your loved ones better manage money, like the envelope system and our lessons on dumping debt and cash flow planning, or help spread the message of stewardship with the Legacy Journey book. We're offering all of this and so much more each for just $10. And starting November 15th, you can get free shipping on orders of $45 or more. So head over to stewardship.com this week and shop the $10 gifts that bring hope to the people that you care about. Again, just go to stewardship.com today and find great gifts for just $10.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris.
All right. Well, we got an email here from Ben. He says, Chris, my wife and I have finished baby steps 1, 2, and 3. We're currently renting. Should we wait on baby step 4 in order to speed up our savings for the down payment? Or should we be investing 15% while saving for a house? Ben, you are right now in the middle of what we call baby step 3B. We actually don't talk about that very often, but after saving your emergency fund, you want to begin to save towards your home. I want you to put as much down on the house as you can. Just make sure you avoid the mortgage insurance, the PMI, and your monthly payment is no more than 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed loan. You had to have a 15-year mortgage, not a 30-year mortgage, but a 15-year mortgage. And when you do that, your payment with taxes, with insurance, with principal, with your interest, that payment should be less than 25% of your take-home pay. So when you can do that is when you know that you are ready to buy a house. But you do that during baby step 3B. And whether you do the 15% investing at the same time, that's up to you. But very, very good question. And our next call comes in from Roma, Texas. This is Tomas. Tomas, how are you?
Pretty good, Chris. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. Did I get your name right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
I am so proud of myself. Oh, how can we help you?
So I need a little bit of advice. My fiance and I will be getting married on December the 3rd. I'm currently debt-free with $55,000 in my nest egg. My fiance has minimal savings and $100,000 in school loans. So my dream has always been to become a registered nurse, and I was recently accepted to nursing school. I currently work for an oil and gas company that pays me six figures. So my question to you is, should I decline my acceptance into the school of nursing that starts in the spring and pay off what will be our school loan debt once we are married, or run the risk of not being accepted for the next term and prolong my nursing education? Now, the other option is, starting nursing school in January and using the nest egg money to pay off half of the school loans and continue following the baby steps while I'm in nursing school.
Well, One of the biggest variables in this scenario is that you're about to get married. And what I don't want is for you to get married and have no margin in your life, no margin financially, no margin with your time and energy, with your emotional bandwidth. I'd want that first at least 6 months to be a good time where you can, you know, establish your new rhythms, establish your new routines, and to be able to be able to have the patience to deal with each other's quirks. You know, once you start working with living with somebody, there's just a lot of nuances to this first 6 months. And so what I see here, being so close to the magic date, I think I like you guys just holding off probably on the nursing school and the tackling the debt. And here's the reason why. If you got accepted into nursing school now, you're going to get accepted in nursing school again. I don't want you to feel this pressure that's not going to happen. Okay. They need nurses too bad. And if you qualified with your competence and now, you're only going to be more competent later. So I think you're fine there. And I don't want you paying off her student loans yet because you're not married yet.
No.
And I don't want you doing that to your, but I do like you saving up for it. I like you putting money away so that as soon as you get married, you can, you know, put a big chunk towards it. I'm cool with that. Just don't pay it yet.
Right.
So I really like you delaying, even after you're married, I like you delaying the nursing school 6 to 9 months for you to be able to get rid of the 100K. Well, I guess it'd be loaning 100K in student loans. Let's see. And you're making six figures. What do you think is a good goal for you paying off 100 grand in student loans when you make over 100 grand?
If I were to throw in my nest egg and, we could be debt-free, married and be debt-free by August.
When you say nest egg, is it retirement or savings?
No, it's just like money that I've saved up while I've been in oil and gas, like cash money in the bank.
Okay, so it's savings. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you aim for like a two-year window or something. And if your goal is like 2 years, a year or two, and it's going to be like 2.5, a little bit longer for you to go through nursing school also. It's not going to prolong the goal a whole lot. If it's just going to prolong it a little bit, I think you can try it. But if it's going to double the amount of time that you're in debt, you're going to go from 2 years to 4 or 1.5 to 3, I would hold off. I would just crush it.
Okay.
But if it's just going to cost you 3 or 4 months and you had the nursing school done, then I'd go ahead and do it. But I wouldn't do anything till you get married.
Oh, of course.
Okay, and primary is to make sure that you guys have emotional margin during those first 4 to 6 months, that you guys get to know each other at another level. All righty?
Awesome.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that whole idea of making six figures and choosing to live on way less than you make reminds me of an article. October 26th is the date of this article, so it's been a while. But ESPN.com talks about one of the Lions, the Detroit Lions ball players, Glover Quinn. He lives on 30% of his take-home pay, and he says he uses the rest to invest in his future. It's pretty cool stuff. Glover Quinn heard from his teammates, says in this article, early in his career, they saw how he lived, and they made fun of him. Said, stop being so cheap. They were just all over him. And he ignored them. He continued to drive this Yukon that he bought back in 2009 when he joined the NFL, and he still owns it today. This whole idea of living below your means, he did it. He's $21 million, I think, is what he's made in his NFL career, and his portfolio is worth $21 million because of this living below what he earns. And that's what I love. That's what Tomas is about to do. Yeah, he makes six figures, but he's not going to live on six figures. He's going to live way below that because he cares about his future as well. And they're going to tackle the student loans, and they're going to be off to a good start. So I love that. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Glover Quinn in an upcoming episode. He's got a lot of cool stuff on how he's handling his finances. Very, very inspiring stuff. Well, folks, again, we're here in the month of Thanksgiving, so let's be filled with praise. That's how we started this broadcast, and that's how we're going to end it. Our spirits are refreshed and renewed in His presence. We're strengthened by His peace, and we're refueled by His joy. When we praise Him, when we're thankful, Through a heart of praise, we realize that God doesn't just change our situations and work through our problems. He actually changes our hearts. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And in Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4, it says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. So folks, let's be a people of praise. Let's make those around us be like, what in the world's wrong with them? Always so thankful. What in the world? They got issues. How fun is that, right? Well, folks, don't forget to enter our Making Futures Bright $100,000 giveaway for your chance to win cash and prizes. We'll be drawing a winner each week. All you have to do is go to stewardship.com to enter. You can enter once a day, every day, for your chance to win, and there's no purchase necessary. God bless y'all.